Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3 this morning. In light of the events of last evening, what appropriate way to start a worship service by reminding us that no matter how much the world might change, there is a rock and a redeemer that allows us to maintain our sanity in the midst of the craziness of this world. And in the end of the day, that there's a God who sits on the throne and a Savior who will reign forever and forever. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. When it all transpired and I was watching some of the news programs last night, immediately your mind goes to, okay, so what does this mean for tomorrow? And there are some pastors who would chastise me and say, you shouldn't talk about current events, but that's foolish. Christ used situations in his parables to teach some of the greatest lessons on the kingdom of heaven. And let's be honest, it's on all of our minds, isn't it? For me, I think it creates a teachable moment. How then shall we live in a world that has devolved to this? How do we make sense of that which seemingly makes no sense? How do we give comfort to our children and our children's children who watch all of this in real time on social media and constant news? Exposed to things that they shouldn't be exposed to at that stage of life. How do I help parents navigate that? But most importantly, for me, it always comes down to, okay, I understand that the sheep entrusted to me in this pasture are indelibly affected by what happened. What can I bring to their attention that will bring some peace and comfort to their soul? I don't take that lightly. At the same time, I'm not going to allow the media to now spin this to some kind of lesson. I'm going to seize this opportunity and remind you of the things that matter most. There are moments in our lives that stand out above the rest of our days. Many of these moments are deeply personal. The pain of loss and grief. Life-changing accidents, broken relationships, and tragedies of all sorts. And there are other times and events in history where time seems to slow down and even stand still, where the details are etched into our memories. And those memories will never fade. One such date for many of us, September 11th, 2001, and the attacks upon the World Trade Center towers, the Pentagon, and eventually ending in a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where 3,000 people died and more than 6,000 were injured in a matter of hours. These salient moments and time serve as mile markers in our lives, where we're confronted with realities that otherwise we seem to try and push away on a daily basis. These indelible events remind us of our mortality. They remind us of the brevity of life. And they remind us of the reality that our world is in bondage to sin. James, in his epistle, writes, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." The psalm writer in Psalm 139 writes, "O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. And in Psalm 90, so teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord. How long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we might rejoice and be glad in all of our days. The prophet Isaiah reminds us, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him when he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. When the questions of why plague our minds, the prophet Isaiah deals with that in the next couple of verses, where he shares, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. At times we want to rush into this big theological treatise and debate upon the sovereignty of God, in which even we don't know what comes next. And what we need to do is point people's attention to the God and Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who does what's right in his own eyes, and it's always good, no matter how we try and sort it out in our sinful minds. So Paul gives good counsel to the church at Philippi. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. I'd ask that you'd pray for this nation. I ask that you'd pray for the former president and his family. But don't forget what often gets lost in the narrative. Pray for the family of this man who in an instant lost his life. Two others who are in critical condition, all of those in close proximity that will now have to wrestle through these tragic things that no one should ever see. And pray that perhaps in the worst of times, people will lift up their eyes and find the only hope possible in a lost and dying world, Jesus Christ. Father, bless us as we spend time this morning in your word. Bless us as we wrestle through the events of mere hours ago. Help us in our minds to be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks the reason of the hope that is in us. Teach us to do it in meekness and in fear. Cause us to be sensitive not just to the political condition of a divided culture, but more towards real people with real faces and real names and real families. Forbid us to allow the media to inform May we be quick to go to your word and allow that to inform. Words of hope and a promise and a blessing. I pray for the children that are in our service this morning. Because of social media, the constant news of our culture are exposed to things they're not yet ready to discern. Protect their young minds and fill them with the simple yet profound truths of the Word that will bring comfort to their minds. So they lay down in their beds at night to go to bed. Father, bless the families of those reeling. Whether they know you or not, we ask that a certain amount of grace be given, whether common grace or the special grace that only comes in Christ. Help them in the coming days and months and months and months of grieving for the loss of a loved one or sitting idly watching someone recover from a traumatic injury. Quiet the minds of those who are exposed to such an ugly picture of the reality of sin. Teach us to number our days, to be reminded how short life is, to live with the reality that not a single one of us is guaranteed another moment of existence. And always remind us, but in Christ, there is a hope and a promise and a blessing. So rather than the pundits and the politicians, we look to you for comfort in our souls, for words and consolation for those who are seeking them, and for opportunities to seize the moment and share the hope that we have and know in Christ alone. At a time where people's sensitivities are high. In the end of the day, we know it doesn't get better. But we also know that there's a peace of God that passes understanding, given to God's children. Where even in the midst of upheaval, there's a sense of calmness and quietness. May it be so in your people. May it scream a testimony of hope to a lost and dying world. Pray for our nation. Pray for the former president and his family. We pray for his advisors, and we pray for the course of a nation. All with a profound acknowledgement that you alone establish kings and you alone remove them from their thrones. May we find our rest in your absolute sovereignty, and may the glory be to you forever and ever in Jesus' name. Amen. As we reflected even last week, when this Western experiment of democracy is removed from its moorings of the Judeo-Christian ethos and its founding documents, this is what is to be expected. Yet at the same time, as believers, we understand that we are not bound nor citizens of this nation. There is a dual citizenship, and of course we have our civic duties and responsibilities, but we are citizens of heaven, and that is solely through the work of Jesus Christ and him freeing us from the bondage of sin. In Galatians chapter 5, again, we're reminded, for freedom, Christ has set us free, and we are free indeed. But it doesn't mean we're untethered to the cares of this world. And it doesn't mean we're unaffected by the events of this world. And it doesn't mean that we never have questions about this world. It is simply a reminder that the only true freedom is in Christ alone. And at times like this, that is where we must stand firm. Not submitting again to a yoke of slavery, whatever that yoke might be. Say, think back. And even thought about the congregation last night. I was reminded that many here today remember where they were when they heard the news of the assassination of President Kennedy in Dallas, Texas on November 22, 1962. I vividly remember the assassination attempt on President Reagan in Washington, D.C. on March 30th, 1981. I would later see President Reagan at Ty Cobb Stadium in Endicott, New York on September 12th of 1984. And now your children and their children will remember the attempted assassination of former President Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania, last night around 6:15. And all of us are put in a situation where we must address this matter, seize this opportunity, particularly to talk to our children. I want to encourage you, and the reason I started with so many texts of Scripture, I want to encourage you to talk to your children and use the Scripture to encourage them even when they're little. I think of Psalm 34 and a simple lesson that you can teach your child when they're afraid of the ghost at night. When I am afraid, I will think of you. Wow. That's simple counsel. It comes from the Scripture. They need assurance, and they need promise, not a message, not a lecture. They need you to use the Scripture to bring encouragement to their little souls. Use the Scripture to admonish and instruct your adolescent children who are consumers of social media. I pray that you understand how dangerous that is. Turn their minds and attention to the Scripture and away from the gadgets and the devices. And when they get all of this information through the Scriptures, seize those opportunities, those teachable moments, and instruct them in the truth. They're trying to sort out things that we as adults can't even sort out. Help them with the truth. Think of situations like this. I admonish you to inform yourself of what the appropriate response is to this and all of life's challenges. And the only place you find an appropriate response is not an experience, it's in the truth. The truth that sets you free. I've been through some stuff in my life. And I've experienced a palpable peace of God that passes all understanding. You know where it came from? The Holy Spirit bringing back the truth to the forefront of my mind, blurring the circumstances of my life, and reminding me that though he slay me, yet I will trust him. It's going to be okay. Instead, we go to the TV and our favorite analysts and social media. In my opinion, that's where much of this stems from, what happened last night. I encourage you as you talk to your children and your adolescents and you form yourself to take the Scriptures and provide hope and answers to a world that is hopeless today. Take the Scriptures and use them to comfort the souls of all who know Christ, reminding them of the truths that set them free. But perhaps in a moment such as this, when we have at least for a mere moment the attention of people from all walks of life, use the scripture to witness and to testify of the grace of God that comes in Christ alone. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, how will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they're sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word. You are all preachers to one extent or the other. And the church is not the first line of defense as your children try and wrestle through these events. You, as the parents, are. You must be equipped in the word. You must be under the word. You must use that word to guide so that you might guide others. And you must be reminded that we have no ability to bring anyone to salvation in Jesus Christ. Yet we have every opportunity to use the scripture as we offer testimony of salvation and our faith in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, and to the glory of God alone. So we are counseled by Paul. You were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. As divided as the world is today, there's division in the church as to how to perceive and proceed from the events of this day in this political sphere. I would encourage you in the scripture, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom we were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Some have interpreted this as some instruction not to speak about current events or to speak about political events or to speak to the issues of the day. That's contrary to Scripture. We are called to be truth tellers. We are called to be salt and light. We are called to address the concerns of life. Most importantly, we're called to truth. We must speak to the issues of the day, grounded in truth, for who else will do that? And as we speak to the issues of the day, grounded in truth, we must be guided by the scripture and pray daily, as I pray, for spiritual wisdom and discernment. Spent a lot of hours last night on that. What in the world am I supposed to do? And you can't escape the reality. Take them back to the book and point them to the Savior. For in this world, that is the only certain thing they have. But I'm well aware we don't always live that way. Sometimes it takes situations like this to center us yet again. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul writes to a pastor. He had mentored him. His family had shared the hope of their sincere faith, and this young man, Timothy, eventually came to faith and had the same sincere faith and was commended by Paul in the first chapter. He is preparing him for his life of ministry. He is teaching him how to be a good soldier. He is telling him how to be an approved worker by God. He is warning him of the godlessness of the last days. And then, in a very personal and in my mind, a very pointed yet tender mentor moment, he writes directly to this young man, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed." He is taking the responsibility for living a godly, sober life and placing it squarely back on Timothy so that Timothy cannot pass his obligation on to anybody else. No, Timothy, you are called to preach. You cannot pass on that. Timothy, be personally responsible and continue. It is an imperative. It is a command. Continue in what you've learned and firmly believed. To connect the dots, this young man, Timothy, would go through his own personal tragedy. When Paul was killed for his faith. Ahead of time, Paul's saying, "Hey, Timothy, remember what you were called to, and remember what you were called for, and be faithful." And what is it that he was to be faithful to? Verse 15, "And how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Timothy, it is that faith in Christ Jesus that will sustain you. It is that faith in Christ Jesus that comes from the Word. It is that that you must continue in. It is that of which you've learned. It is that which you've firmly believed in. It is that which you must continue. For all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God, Timothy, may be competent, equipped for every good work. You know, as we wrestle through that reality, we know that as we gather into a place like this and we celebrate the hope that we have in Christ, what binds us together is our Savior. What helps us navigate the divides is our Savior. What helps us reconcile broken relationships is the Savior. What sustains us in this ministry in our life is the Savior. And every once in a while, we need to be reminded of that, and that's why we come to this table. What a fitting and appropriate reminder on a day like today. And as we're bound together in Christ as genuine believers, we look to the Scripture, and it is that Scripture alone where we find our hope and our comfort and our will to continue in these things that we know to be true. So in the context of this Scripture, the Christian life is both established and maintained. So Paul says to Timothy, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead." The older I get, the more pronounced that is in my thinking. And I'm watching this unfold, and I'm thinking, in a blink of an eye, there is a soul ushered from this life into eternity. And there are huge ramifications for that. Timothy, when you preach and you live this word, know that God will judge the living and the dead by his appearing in his kingdom. So preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season when you wish and when you don't wish. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming where people will not endure sound teaching. Perhaps what lies heavy on my heart today is there's a small window of opportunity where people can make no sense out of this, and maybe just for a moment are willing to listen. Tell me something. If we're not to speak of these issues of the day, how will they ever know? That's exactly the passage of Scripture that we read about. Your kids need to know. Your adolescent kids need to know. You need to be informed. And as salt and light, we must take that message to a lost and dying world. For the opportunity and the window is closing. And there are people who, having itching ears, will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Our culture's minds are captured by the nonsense on social media. And there is there a silent minute in their life where they can contemplate the deeper things of life. But at a time like this, they can, and they do. We must rise to the occasion. So Timothy, always be sober-minded. Timothy, endure suffering. Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Timothy, fulfill your ministry. In the context of that, Timothy is being instructed in his calling as a pastor and a preacher of the gospel. But I want you to know, in the greater scope of things, we're called to the same thing. Our congregations are just a little bit smaller. It starts in your home. Our congregations are a little bit smaller, and it starts in the workplace. Our conversations are a little bit smaller, and it starts on that athletic team that you participate in. Our congregations are a little bit smaller in our immediate neighbors, but we have a similar responsibility to live sober-mindedly. We have a similar responsibility to endure suffering. A similar responsibility, confines of the greatest commission to preach the gospel to every creature. So I call upon you in the midst of tragedy. Do what you were saved and rescued to do. And take the testimony of truth to a lost and dying world. And trust that God in his sovereignty will bring some good out of a horrendous situation. And to him alone will be all of the praise and all of the honor and all of the glory. May it be so in my life and in your life as we speak to a culture that continues to lose its way. But as we speak, may it be for his glory and not our own. Paul, in Romans chapter 11, says, as regards the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, they too now have been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience that he might have mercy on all. I know this notion of salvation, that you did nothing, 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 and God did everything, everything, everything. It's a hard hill to climb for some of you. Thankfully, we don't have to pass a theology exam to get into heaven. You just need to know the Savior. But if there's one thing that you do need to know in the midst of your confusion, it's this. Oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Or who has given a gift to Him that He might be repaid? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever and ever. And God's people said, may it be so. As we remember, I would ask Bill Webb to ask the blessing of the bread.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You again, Lord, for this church. Thank You for our pastors. Father, I'm thankful for the Sabbath, a day that is set aside that we can come here and worship You in Your sanctuary. We're thankful for everything You've done for us. Thankful for this time of remembrance when we pause and remember what You did for us on that cross. As we examine ourselves, we look at ourselves and are thankful for everything that You've done for us. We're thankful for salvation in You. And again, Lord, we just thank You for this day. Amen.
Christ alone has set us free. And You are free indeed. On the same night in which He was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, blessed it and broke it, gave it to His disciples and said, take and eat all of it. This do as often as ye eat it in remembrance of Me. Alex Dean, could you ask the blessing on the cup?
Heavenly Father, thank You for today. Thank You for Your church and for calling us to be a part of it. We thank You for the sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus, on the cross for our sins, through His precious blood, atoning for our debts. Lord, we thank You that even in uncertain times, we have the certainty of You, the certainty of Christ coming again. Lord, I pray that You'd be with us as we examine ourselves, as we take of this cup and proclaim Your death until You come again. In Your holy name, amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and forever. In the same manner also, when He had supped, Christ took the cup, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you remember the Lord's death until He comes. Father, again, we thank You for being reminded this morning of the things that matter most. The truth contained in Scripture. The very things that sustain us in the best of times and in the worst of times. We also understand that in the midst of this national tragedy, that there are people here this morning who are facing their own salient and indelible moments I pray that we might come alongside of them with our fellowship. I pray that we might come alongside of them with our prayers. When they need it, Father, I pray that we might come alongside of them with our gifts of benevolence to encourage, to bless them in their lives as you have blessed us here as a body, First Baptist. It may be all to the praise and the honor and the glory of your name alone. And Father, as the weightiness of this world, whether it comes through the deeply personal moments in life or the unsettledness of a culture, remind us that you're coming again and you'll make all things new. Sometimes we long for that more than other days. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, but encourage and bless the body gathered in this place. And may all of the praise and the honor and the glory be to you alone for all eternity, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.